Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor of Island Community Church. We are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. If you enjoy these programs here on WGOD, I invite you to one of our services. You know exactly what to expect. All of the programs that are on, all of the things that you hear here on WGOD Radio, all come from the pulpit of Island Community Church. We'd love to see you. If you enjoy these programs, if you're not hearing the Word of God where you're going, or if you are new to the area, or if you just don't have a church, I invite you to come by, worship the Lord Jesus Christ here at Island. You'll be warmly greeted by this awesome church family. Okay, now here today and tomorrow, you're going to hear something I just preached on Sunday, and it's called The Return of the Messiah. We're up to chapter 19, finally, in the book of Revelation. For more info on this ministry, islandcommunitychurch.net is the website. These sermons are all uploaded on YouTube as well. Same YouTube page, Island Community Church. So I encourage you, dig a little deeper, learn a little bit more about us. And the best way to do that is to listen to these radio programs and go to our website and read our statement of faith. Read what we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the Son of God. That's the go-to place if you're ever wondering about a church and whether or not it's a good church to visit. Go and research and find out what a church believes about the Son of God. Okay, here's part one of this message now, the return of the Messiah. Now, we're in Revelation chapter 19. Now, I've skipped a chapter 17 and 18. And now, a friend of Bill's asked him the question, and I'm grateful that she did, because I love it when, you know, someone asks, you know, someone said, I'm going from chapter 16 to chapter 19. They say, well, are you not going in order? And I guess, well, the answer to that was, we've been looking at blood since April. And I've kind of had my fill of blood, you know? I mean, just blood up to a horse's bridle. And the terrible future that awaits people who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, I think everyone gets it. So it might be a little case of you had to be there, but I know everyone understands the dire, dire future that awaits people that are upset that God loves them. Because that's the charge over all humanity, is that God loves you. God loves you, wants to save you. He's provided the way. That's why his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross, so that this would not be your future. So that's why we're going here to chapter 19. Now, chapter 17 is a mystery. And it's one that I cannot teach it as fact. I encourage you guys, read through chapter 17 and look and see. So we're skipping that one. Now, chapter 18 is more blood and the destruction of Babylon. Now, on to chapter 19 here this morning. But let's pray before we get started. Lord God, we praise you now. In Jesus' name, we come to you. Without your illuminating the scriptures to us, we'll never understand it, no matter how simple or difficult it is. Help us to understand here today. Speak to us through your word. We pray for those that are going to hear on the radio, for those watching on Facebook, and for those that are going to watch the sermon here now coming up on YouTube. We pray you do an awesome work in our friends and family and in the strangers as well. Minister and speak to them, Lord. Amen. Okay, now on to chapter 19. Now, speaking of Babylon, it's been asked of me before. Many people actually have asked me, who or what is Babylon?
Now, my answer to that is Babylon is Rome. Now, here's a fact. Babylon was a code word for Rome back in the first century. Peter wrote this, 1 Peter 5:13. He said, "She who was in Babylon," that's speaking of his wife, "she who was in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, as does my son Mark." So the early church knew that Babylon was a code word for Rome. So we knew that Peter wrote his letter from Rome. But anyway, time will tell what or where Babylon is. Now, chapter 19, starting at the top. Danny, this is a little hot, I think. Okay. Subject heading in my Bible was Heaven Rejoices Over Babylon. Okay, chapter 19, verse 1. It says, after this, all right, now after what? That would be the destruction of Babylon, which will help explain the reaction that we are about to see. So after this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven. It's sort of like someone's hit a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth inning in the World Series. All of a sudden you hear this great roar, and it's coming out of heaven. So again, he says, after this, that is after the destruction of whatever this Babylon is, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute." This is out of the NIV. This is a prostitute. Some translations might say harlot, a Greek word porne. "True and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants." All right, now this word hallelujah is found only four times in the New Testament. Believe it or not, and all four of those right here in chapter 19. You will not find the word hallelujah anywhere else in the New Testament other than right here. And that four times. The go-to place in the Old Testament to read a lot about hallelujah is the Hallelujah Psalms, which is Psalm 113 through 118. Now, in contrast to the funeral dirges of the kings and merchants and seamen, you can read in chapter 18, this crowd in heaven sings with a great song of praise. All right, verse 2. "For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her." So again they said, this is verse 3, again they said, "Hallelujah," or "Hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever." All right, so I take it that Mystery Babylon is going to be unkind to Christians. That's why they're going to rejoice here. Babylon's destruction will be final. She will never rise again. The eternally burning fires are reminders of hellfires, a place where the Lord Jesus says, "The worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." This gruesome sight causes rejoicing in heaven because God's name and God's people have been finally vindicated. The people who were judged were those who had lived in total depravity against God, willingly rejecting his offer of salvation. Their sins, as we read in 18 verse 5, their sins, it says, are piled as high as heaven. Okay, verse 4. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, hallelujah. Now, we haven't seen these guys in a long time, have we, for those that have been following every week, these 24 Presbyterians and these four God's awesome bodyguards here. We haven't seen them since way back. All right, Presbyterians, for those that don't know, I'm joking. The Greek word here is presbyteros, where the word Presbyterian comes from. So when it says elders, that's what it is. Verse 5, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Three proper names for God. Lord is the Kyrios, God Theos, omnipotent Panta Kratos, or all-powerful. Let us be glad and rejoice. This is verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give glory to God. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Okay, understand the symbol, you'll understand the book. Who is the Lamb in the Bible? Who is the Lamb in the book of Revelation? Right. Who is the bride? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Now, he made the comment. He said the bride has made herself ready. Matthew chapter 25. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. The Lord Jesus has given some parables on what the kingdom of heaven is like. He says it many times here. Matter of fact, he says it right here in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the who? The bridegroom. Now remember, this is a parable. He's just showing you, he's just giving you an example of how, of what the kingdom of heaven, what the kingdom of God resembles. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Again, he's just saying everyone starts off on the same level playing field. Some people are going to be ready and some people aren't. You don't need to read any more into that. Now, those who were foolish, they took their lamps but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delayed, the bridegroom is who? All right. Some of his parables say the bridegroom has gone on a long journey. Right? We understand the truth here. He's given you something, and he's gone away on a journey, and he's going to come back again. That's what we just need to take from this parable. So again, verse 5, while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, said, no way, Jose. Getteth thine own oil. Well, what a response. That was not very Christian-like. What do you think? How about, here, have some of my oil. Nope, go on out and get your own oil. I'm not sharing any of mine with you. Not very kind. Again, the foolish says to the wise, give us some of yours. Our lamps are going out. The wise answered and said, nope. Lest there should not be enough for us and for you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. So while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And now look what it says next. And the door was shut. If I haven't said it once, I've said it 43,619,418 times in this church. Those that are ready are going to go in with the bridegroom. And then, according to Luke chapter 13, verse 24, when they says, Lord, are there few who will be saved? What does he say, Darren? Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many will try to get in and will not be able. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, it's all over. Now, this is just a parable expressing that truth, that not everyone's going to get into the kingdom of heaven who wants to get in, but the time is coming when this door is going to be shut. And then at that time, many will try to get in like these other five, and they will not be able to get in. Because church, today is the day to put your faith and trust in the Son of God, to have your name written in the book of life. And you'll be one of these five that are ready. If not, well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to Luke chapter 14, verse 15. Start there. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. Okay, here we go. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. This is the parable of the great supper. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then he said to him, "Now a certain man gave a great supper, and he invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Erku, for all things are now ready.' But they all, with one accord, they began to make excuses. And the first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground. I must go and see to it. I ask you to have me excused.' Then another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I just got married. Therefore, I can't come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry," one translation said the master of the house, "then being furious, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and to the lanes of the city. Bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you've commanded, and still there is room.' So then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and the hedges,'" or the highways and the byways, "'and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste,'" like Yukon Cornelius, "'nothing.'" None of the people that were invited to my supper are going to taste of my supper. If you offer this kind of excuse and say no to him when he's calling you today, God is calling you because he loves you, wants you to spend eternity with him. That's the charge over all of us. We should rejoice at that, right? God's calling you because he loves you. God's calling you because he wants you to be saved from this crooked and, well, to be saved from our sins. And what we're going to see here. So there's a behind-the-scenes look at how to gain entry to this marriage supper. Now back to Revelation chapter 19. We just read verse 7. "Let us be glad and rejoice. Let's give glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is," catch that, he's talking about your clothes now, your clothes that you're going to be wearing at this time. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So what are you doing today for Jesus Christ? What are you doing today for Jesus Christ? Your clothes will depend on what you're doing for Jesus Christ. My wife's picking out sheets for this new bed that we got. You can either get something like 100 thread count. It's like you'll be wearing sandpaper at this time. Or else we'll get you a tent from Home Depot. But I see that guy, Mike, on Fox News. You see, I want me some Egyptian, right? I want a thread count of 5,000 on my sheets. That's what I want on me. See, what you're wearing, your linen, your clothes is going to be dependent on what you're doing out here right now for Jesus Christ. What you do here, now, today will be dependent on what you're wearing up here at this time. He owns everything you have. He is with you. God is for you. You cannot fail. Look, even if the answer is no to the people that you talk to, that is still your righteous act, as you've gone out and you've told someone else that he loved them. The answer doesn't have to be yes. You just need to be obedient to what the Lord's calling you to do. Your linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The righteous act. God is righteous. We need to be righteous as well. Love what God loves. Hate what God hates. That's the righteous acts of the saints. You're chained to righteousness. You've got no choice but to go out here and do good in this evil, crooked world that we live in. Your clothes depend on it. The fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Verse 9, then he said to me, write. Now here's another beatitude. There's seven beatitudes in the book of Revelation, like the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those. Here's another one. Blessed are those who are called. Blessed are those who were called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. See, if you're not called, then obviously you're not invited. Because this banquet, by golly, is by invitation only. It's by invitation only. If I had a party at my house and if I didn't call you to invite you, then you wouldn't come. Because you weren't invited. Matthew 22 said he's going to throw out all of the gate crashers at this party. Because he's at the door and he's handing out the right clothes to get into this. And if you find some other way into this, you got to be wearing these clothes. Blessed are the called, the Bible says. And yet Jesus says, many are called, but few are chosen. What would you do if God literally called you audibly on your cell phone? Now, for those that have heard this before, bear with me. We're going somewhere for the whole rest of this sermon. This is the crux of the matter. What would you do if God called you? Here it is, right here. What would you do if God called you on this today? Many are called. Some of you, God's been calling for quite some time now on your phone. Don't be like the first responders we just saw in Luke chapter 14 that made an excuse. Nope, I'm too busy. Nope, I just got married. I don't have time for you now. I just got married. I don't have time. I don't have time for you. I just got married. I just got a boat. I don't have time for you. I just got a new dog. I don't have time for you. Don't make excuses when he's calling you. What are the different things you can do when God calls you on your cell phone? Number one, you could send them to voicemail. Send God to voicemail. I'm busy right now, God. You can even record one of these and put it on there. I'm busy right now, God. I'll get back to you later at a more opportune time. Yours truly, Pastor Paul. B, you could ignore the call when it comes in. Ignore it. Like when Jim's on the radio, every friend he has under the sun wants to call him at 7:15 Saturday morning. It's like, why do these people keep calling, right? Ignore. Well, God calls you too. What do you do when he calls you? Do you send him the voicemail or do you ignore the call? Hoping that the caller will go away. Man, oh man, I wish this guy would just go away. Third option, you can block the call. I'll just block them. Right? Got God's number? I'll just block them. Simple as that, right? I'm tired of him calling me. I'll block it. Now, your fourth option is grayed out. You know when something's grayed out on your iPhone, it means you can't press that button? The grayed out option would be get a new number because you can't get a new number because God's got your number. There's an old saying, that is, you can run, but you can't hide. You can't get a new phone number because God's got your number. Look, by hook or by crook, you're going to get it into your skulls that God loves you. God loves you. Why are you upset about that? Why are people upset that God loves them? God loves you so much, he sent his son to die on the cross. Do with that as you may. A new number can't help you. Last option, of course, Linda just called it out. Last possible option is answer to call. Here am I, Lord. Answer the call today while you still can. While it's still today, say yes to Jesus Christ. That's all you got to do is answer the call. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. You can write this down, he's saying, and you can take it to the bank. Blessed are those who are called. Now, God calls you. All we need to do is respond like Isaiah responded and say, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord, send me. I agree with you, I'm a sinner. I agree with you, I can't make it into heaven on my own. I need help, I need a deliverer, I need a savior. Enter in Jesus Christ, Son of God.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.